In early January, the GFA directors gathered for a one-day retreat, and we enjoyed that day various times of discussion and prayer as we look forward into 2025. The first thing we did together that day, we actually had some time where we individually read the first chapter of Spurgeon's book, Lectures to My Students. And the title of that first chapter is The Minister's Self-Watch. I want to read a portion from that chapter near the beginning of the chapter where Spurgeon says this: "It will be in vain for me to stock my library or organize societies or project schemes if I neglect the culture of myself. For books, agencies, and systems are only remotely the instruments of my holy calling. My own spirit, soul, and body are my nearest machinery for sacred service. My spiritual faculties and my inner life are my battle axe and weapons of war." Again, my spiritual faculties and my inner life are my battle axe and weapons of war. And then Spurgeon quotes Robert Murray McShane, a letter that he wrote to another minister, where McShane said this: "Do not forget the culture of the inner man, I mean of the heart. How diligently the cavalry officer keeps his saber clean and sharp. Every stain he rubs off with the greatest care. Remember, you are God's sword, his instrument, I trust, a chosen vessel unto him to bear his name. In great measure, according to the purity and perfection of the instrument, will be the success. It is not great talents God blesses so much as likeness to Jesus. A holy minister is an awful weapon in the hand of God." Those words from Spurgeon and from McShane, quoted by Spurgeon, certainly call to mind and to heart the sober truth that godly character is not merely important or beneficial, but rather indispensable for those who serve as leaders among the people of God. God places the greatest possible stress on godly character, likeness to Christ, sanctification, or holiness. This is actually what the Spirit recorded for us in Paul's words to Timothy in 1 Timothy 4:16. Pay attention. The King James says, take heed. I like that expression because it stops me in my tracks. But pay attention to yourself and to the teaching. The teaching, yes, God has sent you around the world to proclaim his truth, his gospel, and you need to pay attention to the teaching. But first, pay attention to yourself. Okay, the culture of myself, Spurgeon said, and McShane said, the culture of the inner man. That's first. Or think also about the qualifications that we find in the New Testament. This is another way that God places great stress on godly character. These qualifications that we find in 1 Timothy chapter 3 and Titus chapter 1 and in 1 Peter 5 and really other passages as well. But these are requirements for those who serve as leaders among God's people. Where does the emphasis fall? Only one of those qualifications has to do with ability. Think of all those lists. So much overlap between 1 Timothy 3 and Titus chapter 1, but think of those lists, those requirements for those who serve as leaders in the Church of Jesus Christ. And only one of those qualifications has to do with ability. Able to teach. That's the only ability required. So if we ask, what does a leader in the Church of Christ need to be? What must he be, or what must she be, as she or he carries out leadership roles of different kinds? You got all these lists, only one ability mentioned. All these lists focus on the culture of the heart. The emphasis is on taking heed, paying attention to yourself first, and only then to the teaching. And all this makes very, very clear that without real heart holiness, without real godly character, without real likeness to Christ in our thoughts and attitudes and heart and words and actions, we really do not have ministry. And again, although these lists are specifically directed at pastoral ministry, they do equally apply to ladies, both married and single. God does not require us to be perfect to be leaders, but he does require that we be examples of Christ to those whom we serve. And we must prioritize at all costs. I wish I could underline those words for you today. We must prioritize at all costs our inner life, the culture of myself, until the very end. And as we discussed these matters together back in January, we spent a really long time trying to answer this question: how do people end up disqualifying themselves? We've got all these lists of requirements that show God's priority, what he is requiring of those who lead in his church. We have this idea of paying attention first to yourself and only then to the teaching. And all of these are matters are of qualification for ministry. But here's the question: how do people end up disqualifying themselves? In what ways does this neglect of the inner life show up? What habits, what blind spots end up leading to a fall? And we came up that day with a rather lengthy list. I want to share a few with you now, just briefly and just in summary form, and we'll return to some of these in the months to come, Lord willing. But the importance of these matters that I'm about to share and that we'll explore further along the way here is this: that left unchecked, left unrepented of, left with a beachhead in our hearts, these are disqualifying sins. These do remove us from ministry. These actually disqualify us from being leaders in the Church of Christ. We must grapple with these things. We must pursue repentance and turning away from these things when we see the slightest evidence of them in our lives. And brothers and sisters in Christ, this is real and this is urgent. Over the years, even as I survey the last couple of decades, I remember time and time and time again hearing of people in broader evangelicalism, but also within our closer circles, people who through one of these areas disqualified himself or herself from ministry and actually had to step aside. And the list that we came up with includes things like this: a pride that refuses to seek help, or pride that refuses to open up to others and to their input in my life. It related to that, this idea of not being correctable, of just assuming that I am right, not allowing myself to be correctable, or maybe allowing myself, here's an expression we've used, to be kind of the king of the mountain, untouchable in my ministry and around the world in various places. That is an extra extra dangerous trap, because many places where we go, there's a tendency in the culture to elevate a leader and to put, especially a spiritual leader, on a pedestal. If we allow that, allow ourselves to become the king of the mountain, we are exhibiting pride that will actually cut us off from the kind of help and input that we need. There's another related point here, again, related to pride, but just this idea of being in a silo of affirmation, that perhaps I just isolate myself entirely from people, so I don't receive any input, or maybe I just surround myself with people who do nothing but affirm me and that they never challenge me. So there's pride, there's this idea of having a domineering or controlling personality that just insists on your own way. Think about this, the real danger of having bitterness or anger in our hearts, even at God, over trials or over soured relationships or over lack of visible results. And this bitterness or anger at God, and or maybe to a lesser degree, just becoming jaded or disillusioned with ministry. There's the danger of emotional distance from a spouse, and of course, all the related family issues there. Lust and pornography are still epidemics within the Church of Jesus Christ and even within our circles. There's the danger of inappropriate relationships with the opposite sex. The whole area of finances and not acting with integrity and faithfulness in financial matters. Today, there's the whole world of digital distraction and constant connectedness. And this is not just pornography and things that are inherently evil, but just this idea of always being connected, always being distracted by digital devices. And that actually provides for an escapism where we're not actually living where we are. Or think about this, just failing to have real personal ministry. This is a great danger, just that our entire ministry is just what we do in public. Or the idea of unreconciled relationships, people that we know we have wronged or who have wronged us in the past, and we're just not willing to face that and seek reconciliation. These and other matters that we discussed and we need to face, again, these issues are real and they are urgent. And there are so many stories that have actually resulted in people falling dramatically. And the harm that comes to individuals themselves, the harm and hurt that results in families and in ministries, and of course the most urgent thing of all, the blot on the testimony of Christ, these things are urgent. And brothers and sisters, we must be willing to identify these tendencies when they show up, even in the slightest way in our lives, and we must turn away from them. And our desire, as we discuss these things in January, our desire is to learn more and more personally, to pursue holiness, to prioritize the culture of the heart. And we hope, by God's grace, to emphasize throughout the GFA family in various ways these same matters through this year. Here on the internal podcast, through the field memo, resources that we will try to share with you throughout the year. The family conference this year in August will be related to this theme. And when we think about this area of being qualified for ministry and being faithful to Christ until the end and not allowing, again, by God's grace, not allowing any kind of distraction, any kind of disqualifying sin to have the slightest root in our lives, we need to remember, we must remember that that talent will not keep us faithful till the end. Having access to the best tools and resources will not keep us faithful till the end. Extraordinary gifts will not keep us faithful till the end. The respect of others, a place of influence, these things will not keep us faithful till the end. And brothers and sisters, I want to plead with you as I plead with God for myself and for my own family and for my local church and for the entire GFA family. I want to plead with you that you cling to Jesus Christ, that you pursue Him with all of your heart. And whenever you see even the slightest tendency toward one of these matters that I've mentioned only briefly or some other matter that actually would threaten to trip you up and ensnare you and lead eventually to a fall, whenever you see that to the slightest degree, that you would immediately turn away from it and seek the kind of help, seek the prayers of brothers and sisters, be open and accountable to people, and seek their input, seek their correction, seek their help. This is clinging to Christ and pursuing Him wholeheartedly. When you open up the Word of God to feed your own soul, remember that it's the Spirit of God alone who can transform you in your inner self, inner person, into the likeness of Christ. Okay, it's not talents, it's not gifts, it's not tools, it's not the respect of others, it's not reputation, it's not the influence you might have. It's Christ alone, and He does it through His Spirit, applying His Word to our lives. And as we pursue this godly character by God's grace in these ways, God Himself, we can believe this, we can expect this, God Himself will keep us qualified and faithful to Christ until the end. I hope that is your longing, that is your desire, and that you are willing to listen over the next few months as we converse about these matters and as others address us and as we talk about the urgency of these themes. We need Christ. We need Him to keep us faithful. We need Him by His Spirit to apply His words to us day in and day out so that we will pursue Him and cling to Him and be like Him at all costs. And really, only then will we be able to take heed also to the teaching. We will be able to exemplify the things that we teach. We will be able to share with others with great joy and expectation what Christ can do for sinners and what He can do to transform people. We must be examples of that transformation, and we must pursue Christ and be faithful to Him until the very end. By God's grace, never disqualify ourselves by allowing one of these sinful tendencies or another one like them to take root in our lives. May the Lord help us. We are praying for you. We're praying for ourselves. We're looking forward to this emphasis, which I so desperately need. We also desperately need. And may God use it to drive us to the Lord and drive us to His Word and enable us by His Spirit to cling to Christ and be like Him and faithful to Him till the very end. We're praying for you. We love you. We're thankful for the ways that you are serving. You're proclaiming the gospel. And our desire with this emphasis this year is really to serve you and assist you and come alongside you and encourage you to continue pursuing Christ as you have and as you do. We want to come alongside you and encourage you to continue doing so until Christ comes or until He calls you home. God bless you.